This has been CBS News at Cape Canaveral, where today we saw the start and heard the finish of this country's first manned orbital flight. Lieutenant Colonel John Glenn, United States Marine Corps, went 3 times around the world and has come back safely. CBS News will continue, as we say, in about half an hour from now with that NASA news conference, and later this evening with a special recap at 7:10 Eastern Time. This is Dallas Townsend at Cape Canaveral.
Man in Orbit, another important moment in history, brought to you by Rambler and your Rambler dealer, who invites you to take advantage of his weekend special deal on a new Rambler. This is the CBS Radio Network.
KCBS, KCBS FM, San Francisco.
Mom, I'm in love. She's a girl in the Mother's Cookie song.
Oh, dear. I always hoped that someday you and Emmy Lou would be together again.
But, Mom, I know you'll love this girl.
Can she do needlepoint like Emmy Lou?
I guess not. But that doesn't seem to matter anymore. Let me play her song for you, Mom.
Well, put it on the gramophone.
Okay. She's the one on the left.
Mother's, I like the others. The cookies in the passionate purple package.
No more, son. It's a dreadful song.
But you've always liked Mother's Cookies. They're fresh and they're delicious. You know that. You love Mother's Cookies.
Yes, but that song. Emmy Lou knows the Mikado.
But, Mom...
Son, let me put away the gramophone crank until this other girl is out of your system.
Gee,
think,
Mom...
Think of Emmy Lou. It would break her heart.
I can't help it. I like Emmy Lou a lot, Mom, but golly, she won't be up for parole until next year.
Like coconut, then try Mother's Delicious Snow Puffs at your grocer's now. Mother's Snow Puffs.
He made it, and a happy nation rejoices in the accomplishment. The Senate and a rebuff for the administration, the president and the government workers' pay, and a communist setback in the United Nations. This is Prescott Robinson in New York, sitting in for Douglas Edwards, reporting for the CBS Radio Network. Humanity today was as nearly united as humanity ever can be, as communists, Republicans, Democrats, pious and impious men, kept eyes on the screen, ears to the speaker, and prayed, whether they willed it or not, that astronaut John Glenn would get successfully off the Earth and, once up there, would come successfully down again. That he did both these things, the world now knows. For the latest word on the miraculously fortunate feat, here is CBS News correspondent Charles Van Fremd, direct from Cape Canaveral.
What is there to say after a day without precedence in America's space achievements? Only that it was sensational, dramatic, with a happy ending. And though it was a very long time coming, it was very worth the wait. John Glenn is now on the destroyer NOAA, out in the Atlantic Ocean after a 4-hour and 50-minute rocket ride that carried him 3 times around the world. From his destroyer position, he will be moved to Grand Turk Island in the Bahamas, and there he will spend the next 48 hours relaxing and also going through what the space agency calls a debriefing, in which he will tell doctors, psychologists, people assigned to the Project Mercury program, just everything that he can think of, that he experienced during his 4-hour and 50-minute ride. Also, of course, he will get a good deal of rest and relaxation. After that, it's assumed that Glenn will fly to Washington, where he'll receive a hero's welcome, just as did the first American man in space, Alan Shepard. That would include a meeting at the White House with the president and probably a news conference. Scientists, of course, will start evaluating all the data they got from miles and miles of telemetry right away. And as Walter Williams, the project officer for Project Mercury, has said before, this flight was just the end of the beginning. It was the first American orbital flight, but by no means the last. The next one on the schedule should come about 60 days from now, when astronaut Deke Slayton will try and match Glenn's historic ride. Sitting right here now in the CBS mobile unit and looking out across the way towards Pad 14, it's rather hard to believe that it was just at 9:47 this morning that Glenn made his ride. In the intervening hours, we've been bombarded with all sorts of material from Project Mercury spokesman John Shorty Powers, and there'll be a news conference to follow in just about 30 minutes' time. CBS News will carry that news conference from the Cape in about 30 minutes' time. That's the story for now, though. This is CBS News, Cape Canaveral.
In other news today, tradition-minded United States senators don't like to be pushed, and today a hurry-up procedure to force a showdown on President Kennedy's plan for a Department of Urban Affairs didn't sit too well. By a surprising margin of 15 votes, the Senate rejected a motion to force an early vote to create the Department of Urban Affairs. Had it been approved, it would have made certain that both houses of Congress went on record for or against the president's plan. President Kennedy today asked the Congress for a pay increase for more than 1.5 million white-collar government workers to bring their salaries into line with private industries. The amount of money involved, $1 billion over the next 3 years. The president proposed reform of the federal pay system to provide for wage hikes ranging from 3.7% for clerical workers to 35% for top bracket employees. The president said enactment of the reform plan was fundamental to the maintenance of a standard of excellence in the federal service. Elsewhere on Capitol Hill, Senator Kenneth Keating asked a Senate committee to expand its inquiry into rights of servicemen to include the question of segregation in the armed forces. He said that while the Pentagon insists that integration has been effected, Negroes were still being forced to use segregated facilities at certain southern bases. A rebuff for Cuba and the communist bloc today in the United Nations as the General Assembly rejected a last-ditch move to get U.N. action on Fidel Castro's charges of U.S. intervention. The vote came on a mild resolution introduced by Mongolia, which simply called for friendly relations among countries recognizing the right of self-determination. The U.S. delegate Francis Plimpton called it a trick and declared it would give undue dignity to the Cuban charges, which he called crude, defamatory, and false. Ambassador Adlai Stevenson missed the debate. A spokesman said he is confined to bed with influenza. Defense Secretary Robert McNamara returned to Washington today from his conference with the Pacific Command at Hawaii. McNamara said that U.S. military aid to South Vietnam is becoming more and more effective in the fight against communist guerrillas there, that he was delighted with the progress he noted since his last trip to Hawaii in January. He told newsmen that our training aids and our logistical assistance are becoming more and more effective. He reiterated President Kennedy's recent assurances that no U.S. troops are being put into combat in Vietnam. He did say, however, that technicians and advisors serving with the South Vietnam Army are under instruction to return fire for self-protection if fired upon. There have been recent reports of new weapons being used by the North Vietnamese communists against American planes and helicopters doing transport duty, but McNamara said these appear to be only rifles and small arms. Britain today said that unless NATO helps her correct her balance of payments deficit, she will be forced to reduce the number of British troops stationed on mainland Europe. In her annual white paper on defense, Britain said today that she will fulfill her obligations to NATO, but the proportion of her forces outside the Commonwealth depends on what NATO does to curb the outflow of British currency. And Britain's aviation ministry announced today that Britain, the United States, and West Germany will share equally all future costs of Britain's B-1127, a vertical takeoff fighter plane. The ministry said the three-power agreement is the first of its kind. The plane, designed in 1957, has been built in two research models, both of which have been flown, and four other experimental models now under construction. Pope John XXIII today opened a preparatory session for this year's Ecumenical Council and began the meeting by welcoming Poland's Stefan Cardinal Wyszynski, who got special permission to come to Rome at this time. The Pope made no mention of the church-state struggle in Poland now under a communist regime. In Hamburg, search teams are still looking for victims of last weekend's storm, with the threat of typhus and cholera spurring them on. Over 200 bodies have been recovered so far, and officials say there may be almost as many more in the wreckage the storm left behind. Hamburg's 2 million residents have been warned to boil all their drinking water and not to eat meats and other perishables left in shops when the floodwaters rose. In labor news today, a federal grand jury at Kansas City, Missouri, has indicted six Teamster union officials for alleged embezzlement of union funds. And the United Auto Workers today postponed its scheduled strike at five Alice Chalmers manufacturing plants across the nation. The union said that production will be continued at the plants on a day-to-day basis. And that's the story on labor. Now for our daily stock market report, direct from the New York Stock Exchange.
The approximate volume on the New York Stock Exchange at the close today was about 3,400,000 shares, as compared with 3,350,000 at the close yesterday. Among the most active stocks, two oil companies showed gains and one declined. Royal Dutch, 37.5, up 1/2. Standard Oil of New Jersey, 55.875, up 1/4.
Now from San Francisco, KCBS covers the Bay Area and the West. Two men died in a grinding head-on automobile crash on Nimitz Freeway at Oakland today. The victims were 23-year-old Jack Silva and Francisco Souza, both of Oakland. Governor Brown has named William Forbes of San Marino to a 16-year term on the University of California Board of Regents. Forbes, a Republican, succeeds Victor H. Hansen of La Cañada, whose term is expiring. More news in a moment.
A View from the Bridge. This is Arthur Miller's unconventional story of Kathy, torn between love and loyalty. Of Eddie, the uncle who raised her as a daughter and loved her as a woman. A View from the Bridge, a raw, rugged motion picture. A View from the Bridge, a bold and honest look at life and love, set against the teeming violence of the Brooklyn docks. A drama that will hit you with the stunning force of a pile driver. A View from the Bridge, starring Ralph Malone, one of the most electrifying performers ever to hit the motion picture screen. And introducing the star of Broadway's West Side Story, Cara Lawrence, in her motion picture debut. A View from the Bridge, hailed by critics as a stunner, a shocker, a great motion picture. Don't miss Arthur Miller's A View from the Bridge.
Opening at the Presidio Theater, San Francisco, tomorrow evening. Exclusive Northern California premiere. Here is the KCBS Regional Weather Service. Cloudy in the Bay Area with a chance of showers today and tomorrow. Cloudy with showers in Northern and Central California through Wednesday. Snow in the mountains. The expected high temperature in the Bay today, 54 to 59. Low tonight, 40 to 47. Westerly winds, 10 to 20 miles an hour. The current downtown San Francisco temperature is 58 degrees. You hear it clearly from KCBS News.
Now the fastest and only through jets to Miami on National Airlines. Fly one jet all the way, no change of jets. Call your travel agent or National Airlines Douglas 26180.
Good afternoon, this is Scott Beach.
And Fred Gerner.
And wow, what a day this has been, huh? Spectrum 74 here, and I usually give you a list of historical events for your calendar. Today, there is no historical event in the past that can possibly surpass and replace what John Glenn has represented for us today. So, just mark your calendar that this is the day, the 20th of February, when an American astronaut went into space for the first time in orbit, and the excitement is so great and so fantastic as to pass everything else. We'll note, by the way, that at 1:30, a special press conference will come on when I'm sure that we'll hear full details on the flight itself from NASA headquarters at Cape Canaveral at 1:30. Fred, what else we got going for us?
Well, we're going to have a Money's Worth feature during this next half hour with Bill Strawn of Diebold Safe Company and an interview with John Conte, who is currently in Guys and Dolls at the Sheraton Palace Garden Court. And we'll begin with these features in just a moment.
Why do they call them Speedy Marts?
Because they're open from 7 to 11, 7 days a week. When you want something, you get it fast.
They call them Speedy Marts because they are so speedy.
Here we are on Spectrum 74, now at 11 and a half minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock, and as I said, there's a special news conference coming up at 1:30. Meantime, though, you just check this, old buddy.
Now D has B. Now D has B. Now D has B. Now, White King D has B for borax. And White King D with borax gives you fresher, sweeter washes. Cleaner, too, because wonderful White King D gives you whiter washes without bleach than other detergents when you add bleach. And now, White King D with borax rinses out every trace of dirt to give you whiter whites, brighter brights than ever before. White King D with borax gets washes so sweet, so fresh, so extra clean. Remember, White King D now has borax. So make your next wash a whiter, fresher, sweeter wash. Use White King D with borax. Now D has B. Now D has B. Now D has B. Now D has B.
The other day on Spectrum 74, we were speaking with Mr. Bill Strawn on Your Money's Worth. He is branch manager of Diebold Incorporated, manufacturers of record safes and cash safes.
And we asked him to come back again today. We talked about home safes. Let's talk about office safes today. The individual who is going into business and is thinking about a safe, what should he take, Mr. Strawn, into consideration?
First, he should realize that the insurance companies, while they write fine policies these days with all kinds of coverage, they cannot and will not accept ashes as proof of loss.